Checking in from Atlantic City, it's Wayne Hoffman.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
Welcome to my show, where we give you a behind-the-scenes look at what really drives entertainers and travelers and people who are creating their own path in life. Wayne is an entertainer who will read your mind and blow your mind. You'll hear as we talk about some memories I had earlier this year when Wayne and I happened to both be performing in Toronto, and we were there for like a week, and we would go out and he would just blow people's mind everywhere we went, at restaurants and the servers, and it would just be this like off the cuff thing that just happened that just looked incredible. So it's really cool. That's just how he is. Really entertaining person. Even when he's not on stage doing his show, he kind of always is ready to do something surprising and amazing for people. So you guys are going to enjoy this. It's pretty cool. I met up with him in his suite at the Taj Mahal, where he is currently performing through, I believe, the end of this month, which the current month is August. So I think he's there till the end of August. So if you make it down to Atlantic City, go check out his show. And as always, check out BetweenDreamsClothing.com for your new favorite t-shirt. And you can use the discount code podcast to get a discount at checkout at Between Dreams Clothing. Thank you for listening.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Wayne Hoffman checking in right here at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
That's exactly what I don't want
to.
Yeah,
I know. So, I'm back in Atlantic City. 2 years ago, I was here at Revel, and now I am at the Taj Mahal.
Upgrade, of course.
Well, I guess it depends who you ask. It's an upgrade since Revel is shut down, so yeah. but no, it's cool. So I'm in the Xanadu Theater 5 nights a week, doing my thing, freaking people out, reading minds, and it's cool. I like it because I get to sit down and not have to get on a flight. You know what I mean? Every morning, I don't have to do the wake up at 4 a.m. thing that I'm sure you're familiar with. So it's great, you know. And my basement is a casino.
Yeah,
I can go downstairs in my pajamas, and there is a gigantic casino and partying and gambling and people and fun, and then I can come right back up to my room, and yeah, it's awesome.
With the other people of Atlantic City who are probably in their pajamas also, except they don't live here.
I've seen it, yeah. People, they're no one cares about anything at all, ever, in Atlantic City. They just... They will wear whatever they feel like it at any time. It's great. Well, good for them, you know.
How about the difference of being in a resident-type show, like in a casino where you're working, the same show, same room every night, versus what you are kind of more typically used to at, like, going in day of?
Right, not knowing
what's...
Yeah.
Like, is it a grass is always greener type thing, where when you're here, you're like, I just want to leave?
You know... Variety is the spice of life, but I think from a technical standpoint and theatrically, it's great to sit still because I know my crew, I know who's working video, he knows my show inside and out. You know, I don't have to worry when I'm here, which is great. When you show up at a gig and you have to plug in and you don't know what to expect when you walk in the room, you know, there's always a crapshoot that things could go awry if they don't have the right thing. They didn't read your rider. And so, yeah, I actually like the residency. And I think it allows me to do some creative kind of exploration, too. Because it's like I'm on my stage. I know the setup. So I can, I can mess with things a little bit. If I see something going a certain way and I want to switch it up, I have that freedom, you know, because it's everything's right here.
Yeah, and that the control, you're controlling so many more variables.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Oh,
yeah.
Like when I try to sometimes put something new or a new thought or idea into my show, and I'm like, oh, that just didn't work.
Right.
I don't know, was it because I was in a...
coffee shop with right. eight people watching in the, you know, at the college that I was working. Is that the reason why it didn't? But here, that's cool, like, where you can see, like, okay, cool, like, everything was the same.
Right,
the sound
exactly.
system was the same. That's, it wasn't that they didn't hear the joke.
Right, right.
Could have been on, like, a different show.
Right, you never know. Yeah, some things, and it's funny, some things that you don't expect to hit. You know, you'll make a silly joke one time and the whole crowd goes crazy with laughter and you're like, I didn't really actually think that was too funny. And then you do it again just to test it. Yeah, and there's no variables. So yeah, that's a cool part of a residency. There's a lot, you know, but again, the grass is always greener. There's upsides and downsides. You know, when you're on the road, you never know what's going to happen, who you're going to meet, what you're getting into, you know, different restaurant every night, different people. Here, you know, I have my bar that I go yeah. to. You know, I know my places where I'm eating, and I know my theater, and, you know, so, yeah. But it could go either way. But I'm doing a couple one-off shows on my off nights here, which kind of gives me my fix of being on the road, you know?
Yeah. You're good at doing, when we were in Toronto, and just, like, you go in a restaurant or a bar, and you were just always good at being...
prepared.
Being the center... I don't want to say you're being the center of attention, because that has a negative...
connotation.
Thing
right.
To it. But it wasn't like over. You didn't walk in and be like, "Hey guys, look at
right,
me! Hey,
right,
hey!"
Right, right. No,
but it would
that's not my style.
Be these like subtle things where just, you know, something as simple as when you're leaving the check or like paying, and like something happens,
right?
And it's like really subtle things, and the server would be like, "Wait
losing
a second,
your mind." Yeah. Well, that's, you know, and that's a real important part of my character, I guess, as a performer. I made the decision a while ago. I don't like too many proppy kind of set up things. I think even in my stage show and in close-up stuff when I'm one-on-one, I like it to be natural. I like things to flow naturally where, you know, you take someone in their regular environment, but you blow their mind. They're not really expecting it. I think I remember we were in Toronto getting hammered at a bar, and you know, and I forget what it was. Oh, that's what it was. Because we were in Canada, and I think I picked up. I think we left some, or there was she. Oh, she gave a $5 bill, five Canadian dollar bill in change.
Yeah,
a blue. They have very colorful money. If you're in Canada listening, congratulations, you win the colorful money award. So I picked up one of the Canadian fives, and I said how I was from the U.S., from the States, and how when I go home, I have to exchange the money. And then I think I did a magic trick going back to my roots of where I started, and I turned it into an American five. Is that what happened?
Yeah, you switched
it. So it was something like that.
No, you know what it was? This is just... It's yes, but it was... They have old... Like, we have new $100 bills and old $100 bills. They had, like, old bills and new bills.
Oh.
And you said something like... The same process, though. You're like,
do you
remember
right.
they used to look like this?
Oh, and I changed... That's
which
right.
Which is actually
that's
even
right.
more...
Yeah. Realistic.
I'm changing.
Right.
I'm correcting
yes.
you because I think it's even better. What
you're
you
right.
actually did was better.
That's
than,
right. Yeah. It wasn't magical. It was what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
yeah.
She was like, you were like, do you remember they used to be this old?
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
And
that's
they used to
right.
look like this. And
see,
then in that moment, it looked like what it used to look like. And then you're like, but now they look like this. Hand it back. And it was
yeah.
the original one. And it's just like, the girl was just like.
She freaked out. Yeah. And I like doing that. You know, I like doing things with telling people how much money is in their pocket, or, you know, you just do little subtle things. It kind of goes out. You know, I got my start doing magic. And it was as a child growing up, it was all magic. And now I've segued into mentalism, you know, which is also mostly psychological stuff. But every once in a while, I like to go back to my roots of magic and freak people out. But regardless of what I'm doing, I like to do things that are, you know, unexpected with natural everyday objects or, you know, things like that, rather than, hey, take a look at this device you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. This little weird box that has this hook and string that's clearly a magic trick, you know? So, yeah, it's fun. It's I think it's more impactful like that, because it takes it away from something like a performance into a miracle.
Yeah. You've been good at, besides doing stage shows at casinos, events, cruise ships, whatever, live venues, kind of all across the board, but also translating into the television.
Right.
So do you have some thoughts on that? Like how your kind of mindset goes into creating something when you're going to be, knowing that it's going to be on TV, kind of broadcast to a distant
Absolutely.
Audience rather than
yes.
in person?
Yeah, it's completely different. Absolutely 100% different. And people don't realize that. I think when you're dealing with TV, you have to understand, number one, 9 times out of 10 when I do television, they want fast. They want something quick and on point. Literally, I'm doing the Today Show tomorrow, and they told me, you have an intro segment. I said, well, how long do I have? They said, well, 4 to 4.5 seconds. and I'm being literal here.
Yeah.
They're like 4 to 4.5 seconds, and I'm like, we're talking seconds here, you know, and they're legit. I think especially when you're dealing with live television, it's even more important, because they have it all lined up, you know, and they have bills to pay. They have to sneak those commercials in, and you know, they have to be on time. So that's number one. You know, I think the knowing, you know, when you're on stage, you can kind of make a routine last as long or as short as you feel like it. You're in control. In television, they're in control of the timing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to, you know, if they give you, let's say, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and they say you can do 18 tricks or you can do one, I would say do one and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to cram in 100 things and rush it. So yeah, I think, you know, playing, making sure your time is understood, knowing that you're going to be probably on time constraints. And then the second thing is you have to make it visual. One of the rules that I live by is it's sometimes difficult, especially because I'm a mentalist. With mentalism, it's hard to do things that are overtly visual. You know, a lot of guys will bend spoons and so on and so forth, which is an arena of mentalism. But you have to make it visual, whatever it is that you're doing on TV. I like to say when they watch it, whatever it is you're performing, can you turn the TV on mute and still be entertained?
Hmm.
You want to say yes more times than no. Because if you have to particularly listen, you know, somebody's getting ready for work and they're watching a morning show, they're kind of glancing over, but they're brushing their hair. You know, you want to make it entertaining no matter what the circumstance is.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing with something that when you said that, the 4 to 5 seconds, I just, like, my mind started going. And I was like, for me, I would be like, cool, I'll be over here juggling.
Right.
Just cut into me whenever you want.
Right.
I'll be good.
And for you, see, you're prime for television. It's with mentalism, it is really difficult to get up on a stage on a, you know, with TV cameras rolling and get something going. It's a debate. You know, obviously, you can add props in and things to make it more fun and visual, which was what we're doing on the Today Show tomorrow. I'm doing a routine about traveling and picking a country, and they're bringing in a globe for Al Roker to spin and, you know, choose a country. So he's visually choosing a country as opposed to just thinking of it. So, yeah. So that's what I would say. Be ready to be quick and make it visual. Those are the key factors, whatever it is you're doing, if you can. And producers for shows love that. If you can be quick and visual, typically – They're all over it. Again, it depends on what you're doing. If it's a docu-series where you have time to elaborate and get into the background and really tell a story, by all means. But a lot of TV and interviews and stuff, it seems to be really quick.
Yeah. Travel is a huge part of being an entertainer kind of across the board. Where's a standout place that you've been?
Either
through through performing or just...
In general, yeah. Well, performing is really what got me to travel. I mean, I knocked out so... I'm up to 61 different countries so far, which is awesome. So, I mean... standout places. I'll just rattle off what comes to the top of my head here.
Do like three or four, and then do a good story from one of them.
Oh boy, I'm sure. Yes, Lord, oh Lord. Is this a family podcast?
We can put the warning now if you've been listening, and now go to the different room that the kids are in.
Oh man. No, I don't know. Maybe
I have exposed.
I have a lot of stories. Well, let me see. As far as just culturally, Japan was probably the craziest place I've been. I would have to say that. I always say this when I tell people about Japan. You might as well get in a spaceship and go to another planet. It is wild, man. Like, it's just so, so different. You know, let's say you go to Italy or you go to Spain or you go to, a South American country, Central America, where Spanish is spoken, or, you go to a place that has kind of a touristy vibe. If you see something that says restaurante, okay, I know what I'm going to get when I walk in there. It's a place where I can eat. Well, in Japan, it's... it's lines. Yeah. You're looking at like a picture.
Yeah.
So you don't know if that's a shushan shop, if that's a brothel, a rest. You don't know if there's no windows to look inside. You don't know what it is. It's just custom. The different customs are when you the power of the business card in Japan. Giving someone your business card is like giving them part of your soul. You have to take it. If someone gives you a business card, you have to read it. You feel the paper. You comment on what a nice card it is. And people will list all of their accomplishments on their business card. This is like your soul. Even changing money. You have to put the money down on a little plate that is on the counter. Let it go. And then they'll pick it up off the counter. There's no hand-to-hand with money. When you hand something to someone, you have to do it using both of your hands. Taking your shoes off when you go into a restaurant or a home. Here in the U.S., we can go into a convenience store and buy beef jerky. That doesn't exist over there. There is no beef jerky. You walk into like a convenience store, they have dried fish heads as a snack. Yeah. It's a very seafood-based place. So Japan was cool. I really liked Venice, Italy. Venice, Italy was just – it's like no other city in the world. It was – the streets are canals. It's water. And when you walk around there, you can really feel like you step back in time, like Merchant of Veniceville. Like you're there. You're in the 1400s. It's crazy. So I really enjoyed that. The best trip I think I've had as a whole, a really good friend of mine and I, we went to Thailand and backpacked through Thailand. And we went down to, we were in Bangkok. We went down to the southern islands of Thailand. And that was probably the best experience I've had traveling. And traveling, it depends on who you're with. And I had a great buddy, and we saw crazy stuff. I saw bioluminescent plankton. So when you swim in the water at night, these little plankton, they glow neon when they're disturbed or touched.
Yeah.
So each motion that you make with your hand, it makes the water glow around you. Super crazy, like Avatar style stuff. So yeah, those are probably at the top of the list. Japan was wild. I'd say Thailand was great, and Cambodia, Siem Reap. Venice, Italy was a great time. And man, you're talking stories. Holy crow. What kind of dirt do you want? That's the question. I have stories for days, man. I have crazy stories. Man. Some of the stuff I wouldn't even want to tell. Like, this is crazy. Just crazy.
13 versions. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell a story about a buddy of mine, and he'll stay nameless. We were in Thailand, and he met a girl that was traveling with one of her friends, and they went out on the beach, and they were making love, apparently. I can't say that. I'm going to assume that. But they were out on the beach because he told me he had his pants off. I don't know why you would have your pants off. Maybe they were skinny dipping. I don't know. I wasn't present at the time. But he came back and he's like, dude, what do I do? I'm like, what's going on, man? He's like, I was just robbed. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I was out with this chick and we were on the beach and I had my pants next to me. And he said, I heard kind of footsteps in the sand, but I didn't really pay attention because I was busy at the time. And he said, and then I got up, put my pants on, reached in, and my wallet was gone. So apparently some guy creeped up to my buddy while he was on the beach. Like, this is, you have balls, man. Like, if he looked up, he would have seen the guy, like, hovering. So he snuck up and opened his pants, pulled the wallet out, and ran off. And now I'm thinking, man, you know, that's just crazy. So, yeah, I had to take care of that situation and make sure my buddy was okay. So, yeah, you know, getting robbed. There's great stories, too. Tahiti, Bora Bora. I went kayaking in Tahiti over a coral reef. Or was it Bora Bora? I don't know. French Polynesia, where they have the huts out over the water. And there were coral reefs literally inches below the surface of the water, down like just below the canoe. So you could look down crystal water and see fish that I didn't even know existed on this planet. So that was one hell of an experience. So yeah, anyway, crazy stuff. It's a big world. If you're listening to this, I would say the number one thing I could tell you, out of everything, all my life experiences, you gotta travel. I don't care if you have to save money or if you have to beg for money, or if you have to, however you do it, you must travel. I'm fortunate enough that my job allows me to travel, but man, and I'm sure you agree. I mean, our experience when we were hanging up in Toronto, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we saw crazy stuff. You know, that was too much fun. Where there's a few stories from that as well. Norman putting a butter knife up his sleeve, like, I'm gonna kill this guy with a butter knife.
Yeah.
Hashtag hammered.
So I think there are people that are gonna listen and be inspired to travel places, but some of these places are, like you said, do whatever you can to travel, but some of these places might be a little bit out of reach for some people. What about a place that's easier for some people to get to, like in the United States? Because I don't get to travel out of the country hardly ever.
Okay, right on.
Just because I haven't done a lot of work there, so otherwise I haven't gone. But I bounce around America a lot, and I kind of tell people when they ask me, I'm like, well, they're like, oh yeah, you go to Europe or something like this. I'm like, there's so many places in the United States that are awesome, slash that I've never even been to.
Let me tell you something. I agree. The number one thing that shocked me from traveling around the U.S., every region, and if you haven't really explored even your own country, obviously start there. Because every region is almost like a little country in itself. You know, there's regional dialects, and you know, you have the Boston accent, and then you can go down south, y'all, and you know, wherever you're listening from, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there's so many things. Two things that shocked me. A lot of the U.S. is nothingness,
yeah.
And you know that from driving across the country. Like, I thought as a kid growing up that there was just cities and people everywhere. But you could drive for like 10 hours and see nothing, you know? So especially, you know, mid-America and that region. But my favorite place is – one that stands out for me is San Francisco and that whole region, the Pacific Northwest. I just recently got a chance to really, really explore San Fran. And man, what a cool city. I would live there. It's really, you know, it's got a soul. You can feel it. It's, you know, a lot of arts and great food and, you know, just everything. I really like San Francisco a lot, you know. It's cool. You know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot going on. And it's different than most cities that I've been to in the U.S. Obviously, L.A., I lived there for 6 years. L.A. is great. You could go surfing and skiing in the same day. You could get eaten by a mountain lion and carjacked in the same day. I guess you'd have to get carjacked first before eaten by a mountain lion. But, yeah, so L.A. is super crazy. You know, you want to go there with somebody who's been there and knows the area. Otherwise, it can be kind of confusing because L.A. is – there's an old quote. I think it's L.A. is 72 suburbs looking for a city. It's kind of not really, you know, just a downtown and that's the city. It's just regional. So, yeah, L.A. is great. San Francisco is great. Boston is great. Miami is Miami. Chicago's got a nice heart and soul. There's a lot. And another place, Austin, Texas. Love Austin, Texas. Love it there. Great, great vibe, you know. A lot of action, great people, great food. Got some good friends that live there. So it's, yeah. You got to put at least those on your to-do list, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. Austin, that's going back to before, like, people will say, oh, where's your favorite place? And I'm like, I don't know yet.
There you go. And that's a great answer.
Because, like, I've never been to Austin. That keeps coming up. And great I'm place. Like, I want to go so bad, but I just never am anywhere near there. And I never link up to go. And it's like, that's probably my number one place that I want to go check out.
It's a fun time. Yeah.
I need to maybe just make a decision to go, even though I don't have anything to do there.
Absolutely. Vegas, of course. I'm sure Vegas is probably high on people's list. You got to go there with somebody. If it's your first time, go with somebody who's been before. And Vegas, every time you go there, you'll have a different experience.
Yeah.
If you've never been to Vegas, every single time you go, it'll be different. Depends on what your prerogative is, who you go with, how long you have, and I think how old you are too. Because, you know, if you're older and listening and you want to go see shows, that's a different thing. You know, if you just turned 21 and you're ready to hit the club, that's a whole different experience in itself. So, yeah. But those are probably at the top. You got to check those cities out for sure.
Cool. And I'd like to, I guess, probably wrap up with touching on as far as, like, what you do in that a unconventional type career, like not just go get a job, work this kind of normal job. You're kind of creating your own opportunities, and you have to continue doing that.
Yes.
Constantly. Every
day.
Absolutely. Even when you're in, like, I think people see, work in Atlantic City. He's made it, you know. Like, or at least, like, you know, he's got this job, but they don't know that, you know, next month that ends.
Well,
and then
that's funny you say that. I have a buddy of mine. He just quit his quote-unquote real job to become a magician. And he moved to San Diego, and he's currently there. And I told him this, and it's a quote I heard somewhere. Every day as an entertainer, you wake up unemployed. Mm-hmm. And every day you're hunting for the next job. Your business card is your resume. You know, your video is your resume. So yeah, a lot of people think that in the world of entertainers, like what we do, it's oh, you have your job, and that's your job. No, it's really, you know, your job is a one-off. You do your performance, and you get that contract for X amount of performances, and then you're on to the next one. Now, if you're self-producing your own show, that's the same thing. You're still that's your job for the night or however long, and then yeah, you're right. You just gotta consistently go at it and try to get hired again. So yeah, I think that's it leads into the business end of things, which where I think, you know, that's a strong suit for me. I like to think that the business end of the entertainment world is just as important as the creative side. I think if you have a healthy balance of both, you'll be very successful. If you sit in a dark room all day with a pack of cards working on the next new move, or you sit in a dark room and whatever it is, hula hoop, juggle, eat fire, whatever your thing is, that's great and you'll be great creatively, but you also need to realize if you're doing it to earn a living, you gotta let people know you exist and know how to handle it when you get those phone calls. So, yeah, man, it's a yin and yang type of thing. Business and creativity blended all in one.
What do you have as a parting word for if somebody's listening who wants to go on that path of creating their own thing, of waking up every day and creating their opportunity? What is your...
Wow, yeah. There's so many, because there's so many different levels. You have the people just starting and then the people that are really maybe already on the move. I'd say let people know you exist in any capacity and focus in on that. Let as many people know about you and what you do. If you're just starting out, perform for free everywhere you can. And that's advice that I heard from Jeff McBride. Perform for free, go out, get experience, learn your craft, own your craft. You know, the more times you do something, like we were talking about saying jokes in a show, and you do it over and over with consistency, you'll find over time your little gems. But definitely, you know, make sure you let people know you exist in every way. Because you could be the greatest singer, the greatest juggler, the greatest mind reader, the greatest magician. But if nobody knows you exist, then all your creative talents really, go to waste. So, you know, I'd say study business, learn marketing, learn advertising, learn how to promote yourself. Because like I said, once you get the creative stuff in, that's just as important, if not more important. Unless you're just doing it for fun, which I still do, you want to get your name out there. So that's pretty much what my gut instinct. That's what I would share. And if you're wondering, Chris and I are both sitting right here in the nude. they can't see that, but we are. And it's this has just been a great bonding experience. Actually, that is not true. We are not in the nude. But there's one person out there that just went, "No way."
I'm going to cut that part out anyway.
Thank you, Wayne, for sharing some cool stories and some cool things that you're up to. And thank you, people who are listening, for listening to the show. And as always, if you have anything you'd like to share or send me a message about the episode, or if you have questions about whatever, you can do that by going to my website, which is chrisruggiero.com, and go to the contact page. Send me a message, tell me what's up, and I love hearing from people. A few people have been contacting me, telling me what they like about the show and what kind of helps them in the things that they're doing, so that's great. So more people should start doing that, and that'll be awesome. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.